Hey, everybody. Today, we're joined by my friend Matt Peterson to kind of comment on some comments I made that went viral about transgenderism and transhumanism, one of the most important episodes we've done on that topic ever. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support and get involved. Get involved today with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Now, there's something that's behind the CNN story that is missing the eye, that we won't catch with just kind of our bare eyes, I should say. And it might be that you're starting to see some reshuffling on the center left and the power structures in our country. It's not just the fact that Jeff Zucker, I think he was married and he has four kids, so he's an adulterer. Okay. No, that's nothing shocking or new, but obviously very, very wrong and morally disgusting. But if that's really, that's what crosses the line at CNN, I don't know. It's the fact that their company is doing terribly. The company has completely and totally collapsed and has turned into basically a public and open air Democrat super PAC. With the resignation of Chris Cuomo helping his brother and now Jeff Zucker, the future of CNN is up for grabs. And as CNN collapses, you might be wondering, hey, where do Democrats get their news from? Well, Democrats are increasingly getting their news from Tucker Carlson. New stats out show that Tucker Carlson and Fox News pulled off with the self-proclaimed most desirable demographic. Democrats, young Democrats, of all those demographic age viewers surveyed who identified as Democrats, 39% of people who identify as Democrats choose Fox News. 31% choose MSNBC and 30% choose CNN from 8 p.m. to 11. So more Democrats watching cable news are watching Tucker, Hannity, Ingram, and Gutfeld. Now, there might be some hate watching. I watch Rachel Maddow every once in a while, but there might be some curiosity. You might not like Tucker. You might think you disagree with him, but he's interesting. You never know what he's going to lead with. And he also has heterodox ideas when it comes to foreign policy. Tucker Carlson is one of the only people on cable television that says, yeah, war with Russia is actually not a good idea. Quote, in total day viewership, Fox News grabbed 42% of Democrats ages 25 to 54. CNN, 33%. MSNBC got 25%. The story also notes that, quote, Fox News also commanded the largest numbers of independents in the key news demo during primetime and total day hours. 55% of those 25 to 54 watch the network in primetime compared to CNN's 23%, MSNBC's 22%. So Tucker Carlson literally wins with Democrats in the key demo. And it's not just about Fox, by the way. We have a ton of liberals that watch our show, and they're welcome to. We appreciate it. And they send us notes. They say, Charlie, I disagree with everything you say, but it's interesting. It's new. It's provocative. It's entertaining. You're saying things I don't hear every single day. You're saying things that I'm not going to hear on, you know, the local radio station, on whatever music station I'm listening to, or just kind of the same dogma over and over again. Dare I say, do people want ideological diversity back? Sure seems that way. CNN ratings are down almost 90%, and Tucker's ratings are up. Our downloads are up. Our ratings are up on this program. So it's not just about us. It's not just about our, you know, ability to comment on things, which we appreciate the compliments that people send. It's about the ideas. It's about the principles. It's also just about being unique and interesting and honest. On this show, we attack Republicans a lot. We attack Democrats a lot. And Tucker does exactly the same. And so you could tell what's about to happen politically based on the news and the information that people consume. It's rather a rational way to look at things. For example, Rachel Maddow's show was the number one show on cable television ahead of the Democrats in the 2018 midterms. Tucker Carlson dominating with 25 to 54 voters. There might be a realignment happening politically outside of the wokies in Manhattan and Malibu.
How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now.
How long can I hold my breath underwater? Looking back, it's a really dumb game to play. Actually, it could result in hospitalizations and people passing out. I think my record was about a minute and a half. And that's a long time when you're young, by the way. I haven't tried it recently. I'm told that you could be able to, like the experts, they could do like a 6-minute dive. Is that right? I find that so hard to believe. 6 minutes without taking a breath at the NFC Championship game when the 49ers were blowing their lead. There was a lot of COVID drama happening. So you have Eric Garcetti, you have Gavin Newsom all over there with no masks on. Meanwhile, the children of Los Angeles, they cannot go to school without wearing masks. And so Eric Garcetti, who's just a joke, he's overseeing the destruction of a once great city. I'm in LA right now. I got up super early and stuck in traffic. We still made it and drove through downtown LA. And I thought I turned to David Engelhart, who's one of our team members and board members at Turning Point, and Mikey. I said, this used to be a beautiful city. I mean, it takes effort. It takes tolerance of evil to allow the beauty of LA to become what it's become. I'm talking about homeless encampments at every single corner. I'm talking about just an extraordinary decline. But the rules that are put forward are not even enforced by the ruling class themselves. So I can only hold my breath for like a minute and a half. David Blaine went on Oprah and he held his breath for 17 minutes and 4 seconds, which I think is insane. That's unbelievable. Whatever happened to David Blaine, by the way? Him and Chris Angel, I don't hear much from them anymore. They were big when I was growing up, that whole kind of pushing the envelope of human potential. Yeah, it was a really big deal. I don't see much of them anymore. So, but Mayor Eric Garcetti, he wasn't wearing a mask. He took a picture with Magic Johnson, but it's okay. You know why? He said he was holding his breath. Now, here's a picture of Eric Garcetti in the live stream. Does this look like a guy who's holding his breath? Play cut 54.
I wore my mask the entire game. And when people ask for a photograph, I hold my breath and I put it here and people could see that. There's a 0% chance of infection from that.
Oh, really? So why don't you allow kids in schools to just hold their breath when they get near other people? And the arrogance and the attitude. He's just like, yeah, I don't care. I'm in charge. I do whatever I want. I mean, it kind of reminds me of, it's not like I inhaled. I mean, I was around marijuana. I smelled marijuana, but I didn't inhale the cannabis. I was marijuana adjacent, okay? Gavin Newsom has his own response. I was trying to be gracious and I made a missed, you know, he almost said mistake. I mean, I was trying to be gracious and I took the mask off. Play cut 30.
I was very judicious yesterday. Very judicious. And you'll see the photo that I did take where Magic was kind enough, generous enough to ask me for a photograph. And in my left hand is the mask and I took a photo. Rest of the time I wore it as we all should. Not when I had a glass of water or a thing. And I encourage everybody else to do so. And that's it. I was trying to be gracious and took the mask off for a brief second. But no, I encourage people to continue to wear them.
He's just lying. There's footage of him just hanging out at SoFi Stadium in the box, not wearing a mask. Again, I couldn't care less. I don't want anyone of these people to wear masks. What I do care, though, is the children of California still have to wear masks, and they have developmentally they're becoming developmentally disabled, I should say, because of these orders. And Gavin Newsom, none of those rules apply to him or his kids. Of course not. But the lower middle class, the black kids and the Hispanic kids in downtown L.A., yeah, the ones that have to wear masks all day long. If only they were the governor of California. If only they were important.
Look, did you get hit with a big tax bill you were not expecting? With rates still being very low and home equity being high, it's the perfect time to refinance and get some cash out of your home. Look, you could go to one of these woke banks, Citibank, Chase, where they hate you, they hate the country, and they hate Christianity. Or you could refinance right now all of your mortgage needs with my friends. Guess what? It's so easy to remember the website, andrewandtodd.com. Just write it now, andrewandtodd.com. There was Sierra Pacific Mortgage. They're people I know and trust and work with them, and you should too. Just go to andrewandtodd.com. It takes 30 seconds to answer a couple of questions. This gives them the information they need to give you valuable information, often on the first call. Andrew and Todd, they are not brokers. They are bankers, which means they handle your loan from start to finish, so you always have someone in your corner. Take that first step towards getting that cash you need today. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com, or call 888-888-1172, 888-888-1172. Do not use the banks that hate you. Use Andrew and Todd. They will do a great job for you, everybody. andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com.
As we said previously, we were trending for three different things yesterday, calling for Fauci to be arrested on the state level. We were trending for calling Californians from San Francisco who moved to Montana locusts, and also the transgender one. But the transgender one got them most upset. And I blame one person, Matt Peterson, for infecting me with all these wonderful ideas. Matt, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Wonderful day, wonderful week for you. A lot of wins.
Oh, it's great. And I say blame in the most sarcastic opposite sense. I give credit for the wisdom Claremont and you helped bring me towards. It's terrific. I want to play the tape, Matt, and then you just take it away. Because I said this at this event, and it went viral, and we got tons of emails on it. And a lot of people that were very curious, quite honestly. But I'm the first one to say, it was one of your podcasts on the American Mind podcast, a roundtable, that you guys had this long discussion about how transgenderism is quickly turning into transhumanism. It really got me thinking. So let's play cut 64. And then after the clip ends, Matt, you take it. Play cut 64. I believe, and this is to go a level deeper, but you guys are smart and you'll get it, the transgender movement actually matters even more than biomedical fascism, and they actually are together, because the transgender movement is an introductory phase to get you to strip yourself of your humanity to mesh with machines. It's called transhumanism. They want you to say, okay, well, I can choose any gender. Why can't I just have like an exoskeleton of some sort of machine around me? This is what Meta is about, the metaverse, kids staring at screens all day long. This is documented. This is proven. This is where Silicon Valley is going. This is why they're so insistent on this transgender thing, because if you stop being a man, then maybe you can stop being a human being. Maybe you can kind of just plug into some sort of machine.
That is really, really important in terms of a message that I think a lot of people need to hear. And I think it's a message that a lot of younger people will intuitively understand, and they see this happening, but they need the words and the concepts and the kind of way of thinking to describe it. And one way, to start is, I mean, as you notice, the preposition trans. I mean, when you say trans, what does that mean? And it used to be transsexual, right? But transhumanism is also a thing, and those two. The connection between those two concepts is what you're talking about here. And transhumanism is behind so much of what's going on in tech. And the idea is that we can essentially use science to alter ourselves however we want to become superhuman. Now, that's an age-old temptation, right? And of course, we can use science to better ourselves in some way. But this connection between transhumanism, which means instead of a soul or a form, like the soul used to be the form of the body, right? The soul is what's immaterial about you that doesn't change over time, that helps order the body. When you get rid of that concept, all of a sudden you have a body that's a bunch of Lego bricks, you know? It's all just a bunch of atoms. And why can't you rearrange that however you want? And so the idea is to transform, right, human beings, to get rid of that sort of that old understanding of something underlying, a form that has to do with our reason and our what Christians call our soul, that can elevate us to something else, and say, no, we can change this however we want. We can alter the human person however we want. And ultimately, that's going to be physical alteration, which of course includes sexual, because it, like you say, if you can do that, then you can unmake the human person, right? You can unmake yourself by unmaking your gender. Now, this is all kind of a fantasy, and what it leads to is something that I would say is just demonic. It's ugly. I mean, it's a kind of rearrangement, any kind of monstrous rearrangement of the human person. When you start taking apart things in an extreme way of the body rather than perfecting it in some ordered way, leads to a kind of ugliness. And we're just going to see more of it as people say, we need to get past these old school boundaries, and we can change our bodies and ourselves however we want. And then finally, you're as you pointed out, what does this do in terms of politics? Well, it gives some people at the top a hell of a lot of power as they terraform the rest of humanity, and they're going to like take the mass of humanity and use them for parts and rearrange them however they want. It's a kind of sickening, again, I would say, demonic power that these people want to exercise. And even if it's not a well thought out conspiracy theory or anything like that, it's certainly the zeitgeist. It's certainly the direction in which this is moving. And finally, I should say, on the American mind, I mean, we all have to thank James Polis, who's written a book called Human Forever, which you absolutely should find. It's an incredible book. Human Forever really lays a lot of this out. And James Polis is a colleague at the American Mind who really has been at the forefront of thinking about this and warning about it.
So we plug our podcast a lot, and I don't plug a lot others. Your guys' podcast is phenomenal. It's conversational. It's deep. It's entertaining. And it's new, and it's not just the same old recycled takes one after the other. So The Remnant, who I think is a left winger on Twitter, I'm not sure, said Charlie Kirk did not name any names, but he's correct. People such as Martin Rothblatt, a trans billionaire, is an explicit advocate of transhumanism. Rothblatt founded a transhumanist NGO collective called TerraSim and wrote a book literally called From Transgender to Transhuman. Talk about that, man.
Yeah, this is something that needs to be talked about a lot more. So there's a group of folks who have incredibly wealthy, powerful men, especially, who have become trans, and it's explicitly tied in their minds to a kind of domination of over nature, a way in which that we can transform human nature however we wish. And of course, it's a kind of power trip, right? I mean, it's saying, for a certain kind of person, it seems like it's saying I can dominate my very sexuality and the physicality of my body however I want. But what's scary about this is that, as you say, it's deeper than the biomedical stuff, but it's all of a piece. The idea is that certain people are going to control how we terraform human bodies throughout the world. And notice that all of it is geared to atomize human beings. Just like their idea of a body is just a bunch of Lego bricks you can like rearrange however you want, and you can plug into other physical things and plug the computer in and whatever. So with individual human beings, they're all a bunch of Lego bricks too. There's no family, there's no community, there's no natural connection between human bodies that goes to the level of soul or that's immaterial. And therefore, they're all just parts to be used. So when you've got people who are really into the trans thing, have trans themselves, and then they are actively working to transform the rest of humanity, folks, that's at least a debate we should be having. That's something we should be talking about, right? Whether this is a good idea or not, and what they actually want to do to us.
Well, and I wasn't shocked, but I was curious on the response, especially from some people on the right. Because Matt, they said, oh, no, this is a conspiracy theory. I mean, there's literature around this. And you bring up such an interesting point, which is, isn't one of the trends over the last couple of years of mandatory vaccines and this mRNA technology to try and get us closer to being okay with losing bodily autonomy, to all just kind of meshing with what the pharmaceutical companies might want? And it's a separate issue, and we might have you back on another time to explore this, which is the pharmaceutical companies make a ton of money on the hormone suppressors and on the transgender surgery. But, you know, how should we talk about this topic? I mean, I'm not exactly sure if what I said is persuasive or not, but I think it could be because there's a broader game at play here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think what you said was absolutely spot on. I mean, it's true that we wouldn't want to say there's some like overarching conspiracy, as in, you know, 10 people meet in a room and decide every week how the narrative should go. But it's what's silly about it is they're saying that to simply delegitimize or discredit anyone pointing out what you're pointing out. And the truth of the matter is, this is something that intellectuals are talking about. This is something that very powerful people are talking about. And it's certainly the direction in which everything's moving, right? And as we know, when you see the way the administrative state works, the deep state works and everything, they don't have to talk to each other, right? People get the sense, politicians don't need to have a central meeting to know that they can use the response to the virus and emergency powers to take more power. It's just what they're going to do, right? And that's what we see here is, you know, this is a concerted effort on the part of powerful forces, absolutely, to get rid of the idea of bodily autonomy and a kind of relations between other human beings that can be protected, like in the family. They want to atomize the individual, and then they want to take you and atomize each of your parts and say, we can rearrange them however we want. And I mean, I think regular Americans understand this. They can see it happening. And this kind of denial, like, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, is just their tactic to delegitimize anyone who points out the obvious. And the obvious here is and should be terrifying. We have to talk about this.
Well, and what's been really disappointing is how conservatives are unwilling to talk about this at times, right? You take the Asa Hutchinson example in Arkansas, where the governor of Arkansas was like, oh, no, it's actually in the tradition of Reagan to allow 5-year-olds to be able to have transgender surgery. And like, no, if we as conservatives are good for anything, we should stand against the complete and total destruction of the being itself. And it really gets down to that philosophical tension of, can you totally dominate nature, or is nature the norm?
Absolutely. Look, I mean, this is why they propose this as a way of life. Yeah, people, the conservatives who don't get it, you know, they have no idea what they're talking about. Why are there transsexuals on? Why are trannies on the cover of Sports Illustrated, right? Why is trans being promoted all the time as a way of, because this is their way of life, transhumanism. They represent transhumanism. They represent a kind of power over nature. And this is why the alternative should be a more human way of life. Human forever, as my colleague James Polis says. We should propose a bold new human way of life and show what that means. They want to propose a transhuman way of life. And that's why when it comes to sexuality, they almost promote and worship trans ideology and are constantly praising and highlighting this lifestyle. So people, it's not even a lifestyle, it's a mutilation of the sexual organs of the body. And they're encouraging that to happen with kids. They're hiding it from parents. I mean, this is one of the most evil things you could imagine, to push on young children who are confused about sexuality, the idea they should mutilate their genitals for life. And this is what they're pushing. So these people like Hutchinson have no idea what they're talking about. And it's completely insufficient. And we have to move past that.
And they are political issues. You know, they say, oh, they're personal issues. No, they're actually political issues. They are.
Have you ever stopped to wonder why internet access is so much cheaper these days, like $30 to $40 a month? It's because internet service providers aren't just making money off subscription fees. They're also making money from spying on your internet activity and selling your history and data to big tech companies. So what's the best way to make sure the 100% of your data is encrypted, that your ISP can't get a hold of it? You guessed it, ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN creates a secure tunnel between all your devices and the internet so that you can do everything online and it's encrypted. It reroutes your connection through a secure server. This blocks your ISP from seeing everything you do online. All they can see is that you're connected to an ExpressVPN server, but nothing beyond that. And it's not just your phone or computer. ExpressVPN works on all your devices. I can't stress this enough. ExpressVPN is so simple to use. You can just open up the app, tap one button to connect, and that's it. Your data is your business. Protect it at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to get 3 extra months free of ExpressVPN. That's ExpressVPN.com/Charlie to learn more.
Matt, let's focus on politics here. First, talk about your PAC and then just unfiltered thoughts on the state of the Republican Party.
Absolutely. So American Firebrand, AmericanFirebrand.com, We Fight to Win is the name of the PAC. And the goal of the PAC is to start producing the kind of media that is the answer to the Lincoln Project, sort of in reverse. I mean, no pedophilia, and it's actually will be good. But it's going to be a fun year. So what we're thinking about with the PAC, what we're doing with the PAC, it reflects, I think, the state of the race as I see it. What we need to do in the next year is highlight the leaders who are actually moving the Republican Party forward in the way that you know we see addresses reality as it is. And so we need to highlight as a movement these new leaders. And when I look around, you know, when I see a Joe Kent, if your audience knows who that is, on social media, when I see a Blake Masters or a J.D. Vance saying the kinds of things they're saying, it's incredible. I mean, there really are signs of life out there. People who are looking at the moment, addressing the moment, and not saying the same old things. But the problem is that people need that framed as a movement, right? I mean, they really do, because a lot of the media outlets out there, if you're not listening to the right people, you know, they just kind of regard the Republican Party as like one big thing, whether it's good or bad. And it's not, right? There's people who are saying the same old crap, who really are just dragging us down and in our way. And then there's people who are boldly saying some new things, and we have to highlight and support those candidates. So I'm hopeful about 2022. I think, of course, there's going to be a red wave. I think that what we need to focus on is showcasing everyone why there's a red wave, which is not because of, you know, say, dare I say it, the Mitch McConnells of the world sometimes saying the same old thing over and over again. It's because of some of the new leadership and new rhetoric that's making its way. And the battle for the soul of the Republican Party is going to be telling that story about 2022. Some people will say, oh, well, the pendulum's, you know, swung back and everything's fine. And I don't think that's true. I think when the pendulum swings back, it'll be because there are bold leaders who are willing to fight back. And people were sort of forced to go to the Republican Party because Democrats are so bad. And we need to emulate the real leaders and not listen to some of the others who just aren't doing enough.
Are you optimistic or pessimistic? New candidates are running. Seems like new ideas are out there. What's your state of affairs?
I mean, I am optimistic. I think there's going to be unlooked for leaders that no one even knows about now who come into this Congress. I think that people, the base understands where this needs to go and they're attracted to these new leaders. On the other hand, it's cautious optimism because we have a lot of work to do. We really have a lot of work to do to replace a lot of old leadership or incompetent leadership with new leaders. And it just overall means we got to go younger. Generally, younger people are going to get it. It's a stereotype, but it's a good one. Put younger people in charge, accelerate change. And so I am optimistic. But, you know, it's cautious optimism because there's a lot of work to do. And 2020, in a way, is going to be easy. But whatever we can build in 2022, I mean, 2022 is going to be easy. There will be a red wave. Whatever we build then is all we got moving forward into 2024, when the real you know what hits the fan and things are going to get very serious and very bumpy. So I regard politically, I regard this as a race to restructure and reform the Republican Party, to basify it, if you will, as soon as possible, and so that going into 2024, we have a chance of the leaders we need who understand what's at stake.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us. I couldn't agree more. And I need to have you back on to talk about the younger stereotype. We get some mixed feedback when I say that. Some of our listeners do not agree. They say, no, we need more wisdom and we need more people that are in their 70s and 80s. So I think that's an interesting, you know, I obviously agree, probably younger blood is a very good thing, but I want you to make that case at a different time, though. We're out of time, unfortunately. Matt, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. You're terrific.
Oh, thank you. What you've been saying has been incredible. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.